Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I'll begin with verse 12 and read through 18. Living out life with God living through us is the message this morning. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in that midst of the crooked and perverse generations among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. When you think about what Paul is sharing with the Philippian church, Paul had a deep love for the Philippian and for the church. And as we read, we see that they were doing their best, trying to live by faith. They were living according to what Paul had taught them when he had been with them. He said, even when I was with you, do you understand what Paul is saying here? When I was with you, you were increasing, growing in your faith. But now in my absence, I urge you to continue working your faith out. In a few minutes, we'll look at this fear and trembling, because often it's confused with, you know, being afraid, you know, losing your salvation. But there's a little girl. She came to her dad, who was a pastor, and she had a concern about sin. And she said, Father, can we go for the entire of our life without sinning? And he said, no, honey, that's not possible. We cannot go our entire life without sinning. Well, she said, what about if can we go for 1 year without sinning? He said, I'm sorry, dear, but that's not possible either. And then she said, well, what about 1 day? No, I don't think so. I don't think we can go a whole day without sinning. Then she broke it down a little bit smaller. She said, well, what about 1 moment? He looked at her and said, that might be possible. We might go 1 moment without sinning. Then she looked at her dad and said, then I'm going to live my life moment by moment. That's a good analogy, isn't it? Live our life moment by moment and live it as if it might be the last moment before we enter eternity. And if we could think like that little girl, I want to live my life moment by moment. And isn't that what Paul was saying? You know, working out moment by moment the salvation which has been entrusted to each one of us. Now, I want us to look and break down these verses 12 and 13 this morning. See, there are some fundamentals all followers of Jesus should know, understanding and then applying these principles is essential to having an effective, fruitful life. So every believer has responsibility to actively live out their salvation. See, we have a role to play in the new life God promised us. See, we are to, according to verse 12, work out, it says, your salvation, but I'm going to say our salvation. The reason I say that, oftentimes we look at when it says work out your salvation for fear and trembling, we look at that as just individuals. But if you notice, it is plural. That means Paul is talking to the church to work together, encouraging one another, faithfully serving, working out together what God has called us to do. So when we look at this, see, we have a role to play in the new life that God promises. Verse 12 says, work hard. Now, I wrote this down in the New Living Translation because it gives it a little bit more in terminology that, you know, like a commentary would say, but it's a translation, New Living Translation. It says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. See, not like fear and trembling, but deep reverence and fear. You see, once you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, He lives within you through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So if you listen to God's voice and you surrender to His will, the Spirit will gradually conform you to the image of God. Isn't that what Ephesians 6 says? That we are to be like Christ? See, you will still be uniquely yourself in your own personality that God has given you. But, see, your conduct, your conversation and character will become holy. It will come like Christ when we focus in it, on it that way. Abraham Lincoln, in his second inaugural address in 1865, this is what he said, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in. Now, he was using that as an inaugural speech, apart this quote, what he said. But isn't it a good way for us to use that in our lives or in the church to work out? See, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says that God will work out through us what He has already begun when we trusted our life into His hand. You see, when we were saved, the Holy Spirit moved right on in to our lives, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is here moment to moment, helping us to realize our responsibility to live out the Christian life, to work it out moment by moment. See, what does it mean then in verse 12 to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? First of all, it doesn't mean that we need to be afraid of God or worry about losing our salvation. Instead, we must take our faith seriously. You know, take it seriously. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, you know, guard it with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Guard what God has given you. He's not only given you salvation, but He has given you to pastor, to serve. So guard what God has trusted to you, that you might use it wisely in order that people would be drawn to God. So instead of thinking we might lose our salvation, we must take our faith seriously. We should be committed to faithfully attending church. Right? That's one thing. Tithing, giving back what God has blessed us with, praying and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. See, we should not be casual about our relationship with the God, or lazy regarding our commitment to Him, or come slack, or come, you know, complacent. Paul is saying, I'm urging you to carry on. Say, I'm not with you now, but I entrust that you are still living up to the qualities that God has entrusted into you through my leadership to you. But he said, don't trust in me, but trust in God. We are not to be followers of men, but followers of God. And Paul would say, you know, follow me because I'm following God, but don't follow me because I'm human, but follow God because he is divine. He is the one to be adored, to be worshipped, to work out your salvation. So, what's our goal? Our goal as Christians should be to be Christ-like. See, the Heavenly Father's plan for your life and mine is to make us like Jesus. In Romans 8:29, it says, for whom he foreknew. See, God foreknew you and me before we were ever born. He knew us already. He also predestined us to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, for example, see, parents, sometimes you know how your children will behave before the fact, don't you? Sometimes you know, because it could be a repeat, right? It could be a repeat, but sometimes you know how they're going to act before the fact. We don't conclude from parents' foreknowledge that they made their children act that way, right? See, God's foreknowledge, in so much as we can understand, it means that God knows who will accept the offer of salvation. And then the plan of what Paul said, predestination, begin when we trust Christ and come to his conclusion when we become fully like him. You see, receiving an airplane ticket to Chicago means that we have been predestined to arrive in Chicago, right? When we buy that ticket, when we get there, we are predestined to be there because we bought a ticket. When we receive Jesus Christ, we are predestined to be saved because he foreknew us and knew our heart. Whether or not we will be receptive, and there's many, many in this world that has not been receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what? When you think about when God called you by name, he called and knocked on your heart's door and said, I want you. Before I can receive you, you must repent of your sin. And once you did that, you were predestined to spend eternity with him, because through Jesus Christ, you accepted his offer of salvation to you. Now, looking at Philippians chapter 2:13, it says that God works his will within us for his good pleasure, which means we greatly please the Father as we follow Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to live through us. You see, our Savior guides us for his pleasure. You think about it. He guides us for his pleasure, and also our benefit. Now, our Savior guides us for our pleasure, and it says in Philippians chapter, verse 13 right here, in New Living Translation, to break it down here, For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Back in 2000, Billy Graham was invited to come to Charlotte, North Carolina to preach or to speak. He was invited by the leaders there. And he was kind of reluctant at first because he told them, you know, because of my Parkinson's disease, it's hard for me to stand and speak very long. But they assured him that they wasn't calling him to come to speak as much that they wanted just to honor him. So he accepted. So as he entered the podium to speak, he said, I'm reminded of a man called Einstein, that he was on a train headed to Princeton. And the conductor came by and he asked him for his ticket, and Einstein reached in his pocket and he couldn't find his ticket. And then he reached in the other side and he couldn't. And then he checked his back pockets. And then finally he looked in his briefcase and he said, you know I have one somewhere. And the conductor said, that's okay. I know who you are. Everybody knows you, Einstein. He said, that's okay, but I've got it here. So he said, well, maybe I'll come back by later. So he went on down to collect another ticket. And he looked back and saw Einstein on his hands and knees, frantically crawling on his hands and knees, looking under the seats. And as he made it back up there to Einstein, he said, that's okay. He said, you're all right. We know who you are. He said, well, yeah, you know who I am, and I know who I am, but I don't know where I'm going. And Billy Graham said, you know, my wife, my children, and my grandchildren have been on to me for some time to look my best. He said, at one time in my life, I always tried to look my best, and he said, I still want to. So that's when I went out and bought this new suit, he said. But he said, you know, not only is this suit for this special occasion, but it's the suit I'm going to be buried in. Now, he said, when it comes to that time, and you get the word that I passed on, I went on to my heavenly home, he said, I don't want you to remember me because I had a new suit on. He said, I want you to remember me that I know whose hands I was in and I know where I am going. You see, that's what it is in this life. Moment by moment, we understand that if we're a child of God, we are to work out our salvation. Work it out. Not with being afraid that we're going to lose our salvation or we're not going to come measure up to God's standards where He is, but He wants to bring us up if we trust and work on it day by day. Or like the little girl, moment by moment. See, when we look at the scripture, what Paul is saying, we understand that He's going to bring us. You see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, is to bring us up to the level of righteousness that the Bible said that we can be just like Jesus. You know, we got to make a choice. We got to make a choice each day of our life. How are we going to measure up? How are we going to work out our salvation? It's not that we're working to keep saved, but we're working together as a church, encouraging one another, attend church, tithing, serving, in whatever capacity God has called you to, that is what we are to work towards. And on a faithful daily of our daily life, we are to be in the Word of God and serving Him and worshiping Him through His Word and through prayer. In these last few verses, I want us to look at once again. holding fast the word of life, so that in a day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering unto the sacrifices and service of your faith, I will rejoice and share my joy with you all. You see what Paul is saying here in the scripture? He said, no matter what we do in the name of the Lord, it will not be in vain. Our toil, our faithfulness, our work is not going to be in vain. And he says that I will rejoice in you in the day of the coming of the Lord. And Paul was one who said, you know, I'm the worst sinner that there was. And Paul might say, I couldn't even keep from sinning moment by moment. But praise God, I put all that behind me, and now I'm pressing on to the high calling of God, the mark of the high calling of God in my life. See, when we think about our relationship with the Lord and where he brought us from and where he's going to take us to, you see, that should be the pivotal point of our life, to strive to do everything that we know that God wants us to do, you know, to help us understand his calling in our life. It's so precious to understand that God's calling in each one of us, our lives, is different. He has a different purpose, a different will for each one of us. But when we think about the calling he has placed in each one of us, it's so unique. Of all the millions and thousands and billions of people within the world, every one of us is so unique. And that's why not only is it individually we to work out our salvation, working out God's call in our life, but as a church coming together, as we go out and we witness, and as we share the faith of Jesus Christ, you see, we're working it all out together to understand that God has a calling for the church. And you know, he has made you and me a part of that. I praise God that he has called each one of us, just not as pastors, evangelists, or teachers, but the ministers of the gospel, to carry out the sacred name of Jesus, so that one of these days when we stand before him, we don't have to stand ashamed or say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Because it's not, our life is not built on the works, but it's built on faith, and our works will prove our faith. So work out your salvation, not with the being afraid, but with the reverence of God, because you love him and care for him. And therefore, living out life with God living through you will be the ultimate goal for you to accomplish in this life into eternity. Amen? Amen. May we pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious gift of salvation. We thank you this morning that you call each one of us to a holy calling, first to salvation, and then you place in each one of our lives a calling to serve in some capacity. And Lord, I pray that we, like Paul, take it very serious, our calling of salvation. It's something we will not take lightly. And Lord, more we read and study your word, more that we pray, more active that we are within our life and serving you and serving in the church and serving in our community, the better we see your Holy Spirit at work. Seeing people's lives change, seeing people reaching far beyond what they can do humanly, but Lord, in a divine way, see that you can accomplish much through a willing and workable heart. Lord, whatever the decisions are this morning with each and every one of us that is here, we pray that Your Holy Spirit has already been working and striving, Lord, to make that difference in our life, to see the changes that we need to make individually And Lord, as a church, when we come together, we can say, you know, I see how God is working in your life. I see how he's working in the church. I see how he's going to bless because we're faithfully serving together. Lord, I pray that this morning, let your Holy Spirit just move each one of us to make a decision, whether it's here at the altar, but in our pews, that when we leave here today, Lord, we'll be glorifying you and thanking you, Lord, for not giving up on us, not giving up on us individually, but striving with the power that you give us from on high to reach forward and do all that we can do, moment by moment in our life, that we might please you and be Christ-like. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 41, God is so good.